Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. As is my usual pattern, at the end of August, I do a back-to-school program about the state of education in America. And to start off this year's program, let me remind you of a famous quote from Martin Luther in this regard. I am very much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor to explain the Holy Scripture and engrave them in the hearts of youth. And also, I advise that no one place his child where scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God will become corrupt, unquote Martin Luther. And we're not talking about something that's optional here, but a command from God himself. Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So the question is, are we going to obey God or not obey God? And this I do know, whenever you disobey God, it doesn't go very well. Now, Martin Luther was making these comments about education back in the 1500s. So even then, there were pagan schools that did not teach children the scripture. Because mankind has always been naturally at enmity with God since the fall. And Luther was right, if God is removed from education, the people will become corrupt. Godless education will produce godless students. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They're dismayed and caught. Behold, they've rejected the word of the Lord. And so what kind of wisdom do they have? And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. And since the word of God was expelled from American public education in 1963 under a Supreme Court ruling, Abington School District versus Shemp, America has become Sodom. And there's no denying that. Homosexual parades in every city, transgenderism, drag shows for children, the genocide of over 65 million babies in the womb, a dramatic increase in violent crimes, drug abuse, divorce, broken marriages, the legalization of gambling, pornography. You know, after the Bible was jettisoned from public schools, one could chart year by year the legalization of what used to be clearly immoral. Now, of course, it's not that the judicial system changed the morals of our country. The people already in their hearts rejected God and his truth. The legal system simply became a reflection of that apostasy. And so also the education system became a reflection of that apostasy. What a people allow for in their own education and in the education of their children is a thermometer of their soul. There are all sorts of legal and democratic arguments for having so-called neutrality in public schools, which is really never neutral because if God is not allowed, atheism becomes the default state religion. But all of those arguments are merely a smokescreen for people's antipathy toward God and his truth. No parent or politician would ban mathematics from public school because people are offended by mathematics or because parents should teach mathematics at home to their children. Because mathematics is a personal issue. No, of course, every public school has to have mathematics. The only reason someone would ban mathematics is they no longer believe it's true. And in the same way, the reason parents and politicians banned biblical theology from public schools is because they no longer believed that God's word is true. But even that illustration doesn't hold true today because some public schools are actually now pushing mathematics out. Which is to be expected, because if a people reject the truth of God, they will eventually reject all truth. If you reject written revelation, eventually you'll reject natural revelation and revert to a primitive state. But anyway, in regard to education in public schools, the battle is not merely an education battle. This is a battle over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians are not just up against a contrary education system. We're up against false teachers and false doctrine. All of the New Testament warnings that condemn false teachers apply to secular educators and ideologues. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause divisions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. Galatians 1:9, if any man preach to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Colossians 2:8, see that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. All of these warnings against false teachers apply to the secular public education system. The mistake that's often made is to relegate these texts to a religious context, as if it only applies to ministers in the pulpit. But these warnings need to be applied to any teacher, any social leader, any influencer, any politician. There's no difference between the secular and the sacred in this regard. All ground belongs to God. So, that's a brief introduction to the Christian philosophy of education. Now, as far as what's going on in education today, there's some good news and there is some bad news. As is often said, which do you want first? Well, I'll cover the good news first. Within just 5 months after Trump taking office, the Department of Education has been cut in half. Trump put Linda McMahon in charge of the department, and she even admitted that her goal was unusual, to eliminate the department and her job. The Department of Education had 4,400 employees. Trump cut that in half to 2,000, and there'll be further cuts when some of the essential financial duties of the Department of Education get shifted to other cabinets. Now, of course, the Democrats have tried to use lawfare to stop the president from reducing the size of one of the president's own cabinets. A lower court leftist judge ruled that Trump had to hire back all 1,400 employees that he laid off. But the Supreme Court ruled in July that the president can cut the size of the department. Now, to dismantle the entire department would take an act of Congress, since Congress was involved in establishing the DOE. But the president has the authority to direct its scope. And by the way, the bill to eliminate the entire department is already being sponsored in Congress. Anyway, why is this a big deal for conservatives? In fact, Republican presidential candidates have all campaigned on getting rid of the Department of Education. 2 years after Jimmy Carter started the department, Ronald Reagan talked about getting rid of it. So that, quote, the education of our children will be determined by local needs and preferences rather than unelected bureaucrats in Washington. And that's the issue. The Department of Education doesn't really educate children. It's a group of ideologues and bureaucrats who receive large salaries to supervise state education. And state education was doing just fine before the DOE. And the telling statistic is that student test scores have declined every year since the creation of the Department of Education. Would the decline have been worse without the DOE? Were there other factors outside the control of the DOE? Well, maybe. But you think with the billions spent on the Department of Education, there would at least be some improvement. But there was not. Because the Department of Education doesn't educate, and the stated goals of the DOE only burden schools with more paperwork and needless requirements. The stated goal of the DOE is to redistribute tax dollars for education. And if you know anything about education, you know it doesn't take a lot of money to educate. Abraham Lincoln educated himself by reading books in his log cabin. Failure in education is not a money problem. It's a moral religious problem. It's a moral motivation problem. I educated all four of my boys for about $1,000 a year for their books and their video education. And they all graduated from college with honors. They're all in professional careers. I estimated that I saved my local township close to $1 million in education expenses. You know, given the fact that four boys going through K through 12 at about $20,000 a year the township spends on education, their education would have cost the state about $1 million. I'm still waiting on a thank you letter. The second goal of the DOE is to collect data and do research on education. But the private sector already had plenty of school testing and statistics. Third, the DOE is to direct schools and the public toward key educational issues, as if states can't figure that out. This simply means the DOE is to talk about education and promote the latest ideological agenda from Washington. And the fourth goal of the DOE is to prohibit discrimination, which is something each state is already required to do by law. So since the Department of Education is basically unnecessary, it's common sense to eliminate the bureaucracy and put all of those people to work doing something more productive. But for the left, for the statists, they probably want an army of bureaucrats. Because every government worker means one more voter who's a statist. And eliminating the Department of Education is a righteous endeavor, given the Christian worldview. Because of man's sinful bent, centralized power always supports evildoers. It always supports the wolves. And this is why in Genesis chapter 11, God divided up the nations at the Tower of Babel. Because a group of totalitarian, control-minded people wanted to build a centralized institution to keep people from scattering out from under their control. God said they needed to be divided, otherwise nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And what such people purpose to do is to force their agenda. If man didn't have a sinful bent, there would be no need to put a check on power, to decentralize power, but power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, the problem is with a lot of people is they want the power and they really don't believe in sin. Now, another piece of good news on the education front is that the administration is waging war against DEI, against transgenderism, against critical race theory, the teaching of cultural Marxism in our public schools. Trump signed an executive order ending federal funding to schools that have DEI programs. And an executive order ending federal funding to schools that have boys and girls sports. Now, all this is still in the courts, but it has had a profound effect upon the culture. The Overton window has shifted whereby transgenderism and DEI racism used to be considered moral virtues. Now such ideology is on the defense and losing. The DOJ has even created a web portal where parents can complain if their school is teaching DEI, because the ideology of DEI actually violates civil rights laws. Because in judging people by the color of their skin and by giving preference to people on the basis of the color of their skin, it violates Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. Men and women's sports also violate women's civil rights. Now, these laws were already on the books, but the Democrat administrations were not enforcing them. So the Trump Justice Department has, with this, been able to sue and withhold grants from universities that promote DEI and transgenderism in sports. For example, the University of Pennsylvania has come to an agreement with the Trump administration in regard to the administration prosecuting the University of Pennsylvania for the violation of women's rights, which, by the way, is considered one of the most serious offenses for anyone on the left to violate women's rights. The University of Pennsylvania has agreed to restoring to all female athletes, to all individual UPenn Division I swimming record titles and similar recognitions, which were misappropriated by male athletes, allowed to compete in female categories. as in the case of Riley Gaines and Leah Thomas. Also, UPenn has agreed to issue a public statement to the university community stating that it will comply with Title IX, specifying that UPenn will no longer allow males to compete in female athletic programs or occupy Penn Athletic female intimate facilities, locker rooms. The University of Pennsylvania will also adopt biological-based definitions for the words male and female, pursuant to Title IX and consistent with President Trump's executive order, defending women from gender ideological extremism and keeping men out of women's sports. The University of Pennsylvania will post the statement in a prominent location on its main website and on each of its websites for women's athletics. The university will rescind any guidance which violates Title IX, remove or revive any internal or public-facing statements or documents that are inconsistent with Title IX, and notify all staff and women athletics of such rescissions. And UPenn will send a personal letter of apology to each impacted female swimmer. So how do you like that? When the Christian swimmer Riley Gaines began to speak up against having to compete against men in swimming competitions, she was standing alone. She was one of the first to speak out. Now look at how someone who had conviction and boldness, like the Old Testament prophet Daniel, was able to push back against the darkness and really change the entire nation. And also notice how the one in civil leadership, the president, can make such a moral difference in the country. You know, yes, change comes about by God and by grassroots evangelism, but it eventually has to affect the top. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Proverbs 28:12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory. Currently, the administration is also going after UCLA. The Justice Department is seeking a $1 billion settlement over multiple installments, along with a $172 million claim fund for people impacted by UCLA's violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And this was the result of UCLA's DEI programs, which is all about excluding people on the basis of talent and ability and including people only on basis of race. UCLA is also currently under an anti-Semitism investigation by the Department of Justice. So UCLA is considering an agreement with the federal government that would first create a new senior administration position, a person who will police compliance with anti-discrimination laws, an anti-woke administrator. Second, UCLA would discontinue race and ethnicity-based scholarships. Third, UCLA would ensure single-sex housing for women on campus and ensure athletic recognition for female athletes in women's sports. And fourth, the UCLA Hospital Medical School will also stop providing sex transitioning procedures. The senator from California, Scott Wiener, said this agreement is morally unacceptable. Well, that's according to his moral compass. So those are just two stories of many, where the Trump administration is aggressively working to put an end to leftist wokeism and cultural Marxist agenda. And just in case you've forgotten, let me again define for you the religion of wokeism, which is a false gospel that has begun to take over America. Let's define it as the proponents themselves define it. It means being awoken to critical theory, critical race theory, and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that everything in the world is about being oppressed by Western values and traditional morals, that morals and values are mere human constructs made up to oppress people, accountability, work, responsibility, or oppression. Wokeism is basically the complaint of communism that everyone needs to be equally financially, but now also cultural Marxism that everyone needs to be considered equal morally, that there needs to be a moral equivalency between LGBTQ and straight people. So justice, righteousness, goodness is defined as defending whoever is oppressed, specifically those who are oppressed by righteousness. Wokeism is actually the way of Cain, which is written about in the Bible. It's the old lie and complaint of Cain that God is an oppressor because his brother Abel was considered righteous and he was not. Cain wanted moral equivalency and moral egalitarianism. Also, wokeism is an alternative religion to Christianity. It's Satan's alternative moral universe to compete with Christianity, to give the ungodly a religion, some basis for claiming moral superiority, to give them some faith, some cause, some utopia to replace heaven. So anyway, the bad news is that even though the current administration is pushing back against wokeism, this religion of wokeism is still in the hearts and the minds of many American educators and social leaders, because even though they have reversed course a little bit, they haven't really turned to Christ. Now, a good example of this is the recent Supreme Court ruling against Maryland. The school administrators in Maryland prohibited parents in Maryland from opting their kids out of LGBTQ training. In a 6-3 vote along party lines, the Supreme Court excoriated Maryland for not allowing parents to opt out and to control the moral teaching of their children. And the cries from leftist administrators and politicians was telling. They claimed that this would be the end of education, that this is fascism, that this is hurtful toward LGBTQ students. They say these things because they see no evil in sexual immorality, because they're secular materialists. But the Supreme Court ruling doesn't change the intrinsic ideology of these social leaders pushing this in public schools. And rather than having specific classes on LGBTQ, these educators will simply incorporate the teaching into all the curriculum. And how many parents are informed enough to go through all the effort to opt their children out? Maybe 5%? The vast majority of parents will think, oh, well, it can't really hurt. My children need to know what's out there anyway. And so there are many children whose moral education will be that gender is a choice and your sexual moral behavior doesn't matter. You know, boys and girls sports, DEI racism, you know, the teaching of this moral equivalency are only symptoms of a deeper spiritual problem, which is rejecting God and his revelation as a source of truth. And until that's fixed, nothing will change permanently. There will be no salvation. Now, my prediction is this, for what it's worth. Even with the righteous actions coming from the administration and some good rulings from the court, which are all necessary, wokeism in new and various forms is going to return with a vengeance. Now, I have all sorts of eschatological theories on this. But what we have now is God's exposure of wokeism, God giving people an opportunity to turn from it. But if there isn't a full turning to Christ and biblical truth on the part of the public, we will see happen in America what Jesus said concerning Israel. Matthew chapter 12, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and live there, and the last state of the man has become worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. Jesus wasn't just referring to individuals. He was speaking about the entire nation of Israel. What happens to a nation when it has moral reforms, but a not true turning to God? You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube and Rumble channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. May Jesus Christ reign.